Wendy, are you ready? All right, I'm going to take a bite and give Lisa 2 seconds. One second. I'd like to welcome everyone to the North Salt Lake City Council work session of January 21st, 2025. And our first item is the presentation of the 2024 financial audit. And Heidi, we'll let you introduce Ryan to us.
So today we have with us Ryan Child with Child Richards, who is our external audit firm. They have been working on our audit since July and finished right on Christmas Eve, so it was quite a process this year. And Ryan is here today to present some of those audit items and to go over some of the financial reports.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's good to be here. On your screen, there's a report. This particular report is a letter that's designed for us as external auditors to communicate with you, those who are charged with overseeing the governance of the city. This letter would describe any estimates in the financial statements, any difficulties encountered or disagreements with management for which we do not have any. On the second page, we have a couple of items we wanted to bring to your attention. They're described down at the bottom as findings, but these are pretty minor. Just wanted to share with you. The first one is there were some transfers that were made from one fund to another, and in a couple of instances, there were some transfers that exceeded the amount that had been budgeted for those transfers. Not by any significant amount, but by some. So the recommendation is just to keep your eye on the budget for those transfers as well as expenditures. The second item is anytime there's a fee that is charged to citizens or any consumers, that fee really should be established by the city with resolution and included within your consolidated fee schedule. We found a couple of fees that did not take place, but it sounds that has been remedied already. So this would be our letter to you, to the mayor and council. So the first letter I just went over is really just from us to you. It's not intended to be publicized, or it doesn't go to the state auditor's office or anything of that nature. This next report is really the purpose of an audit. It's the independent auditor's report. And on the top of the page, you can see that we've expressed an opinion on the financial statements of both the governmental activities and the business type activities. The business type activities are the enterprise funds, such as water, sewer, storm drain, sanitation. The next paragraph, or two paragraphs down, describes the basis for our opinions, that we conducted this audit in accordance with government auditing standards, which means besides just auditing the financial statements, we have also audited the internal control over financial reporting with respect to compliance of laws, regulations, and contracts. It describes the responsibilities of management over the financial statements. You have a finance director here at North Salt Lake who has the skills and the expertise to prepare this whole report. So the PDF that I'm sharing with you right now is only about 20 pages, but as you can see, the report that you have is more like 90. And she puts that together and does a great job. It describes the responsibilities of the auditor to audit the financial statements, and then has some disclaimers about certain supplementary information that exists within this report. So once again, it was a clean audit, and we've expressed an unmodified opinion on these financial statements. This next report, you can see on the bottom, it's actually, I think that says page 77, is towards the very back of your bound report. But this is where we have expressed our conclusions regarding the internal controls over financial reporting and over compliance, for which we do not have any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses on those internal controls. So clean report there. With regards to compliance, the State Auditor's Office each year selects certain elements of the Utah Code and puts them into a state compliance audit guide and asks us as internal or independent auditors to test these areas of compliance. You can see there's budgetary compliance, fund balance, justice courts, and several others. And we also do not have any findings with respect to state compliance. So great job of keeping the city up to speed on laws and regulations. After the independent auditor's report, there's a section in the large bound report called Management's Discussion and Analysis. And this is where Heidi is able to put words or meaning behind the numbers. And this is on page 15. This page describes or totals all of the capital projects that took place last year. And as you can see, it's a pretty large table. It's taking up most of the page there. To name some of the projects that cost quite a bit of money or more than a couple hundred thousand, you can see the fourth item down, the Hatch Park expansion, $918,000. 475 North in Cloverdale is $239,000. The Parkway Drive, Canyon Lane, $243,000. Cider Drive, quite a few. You have a lot going on in the city with respect to capital improvements and reinvesting the funds back into the city. So that section of the report can be very helpful for understanding what the numbers mean. Going into the financial statements themselves, on page 18 of the bound report is the balance sheet of the governmental funds. This balance sheet shows by column the major governmental funds, first being the general fund, which really captures all activity that is not restricted to be accounted for elsewhere or dedicated by management to be accounted for in a separate bucket, if you will. On the top of the page, you can see cash and cash equivalents. That is unrestricted money that the city had as of June 30th. And then the last asset that's listed here is restricted cash and cash equivalents. So the general fund at the end of the year had $4.4 million in unrestricted cash. The RDA fund at $2.7 million in unrestricted cash. The debt service fund had over expended its cash, and so it actually had a cash deficit at the end of the year. The capital projects fund had $5.9 million in cash, road development at $3.9 million, and the non-major governmental funds, which I'll go over on a separate page here in just a moment. The restricted cash exists within the RDA, the redevelopment agency. You can see there's $3.6 million in restricted cash there. The debt service, the RAP tax fund, has $17 million of restricted cash, unexpended bond proceeds. And the road development has $4.6 million of restricted cash. That restricted cash in the road development, if you go down towards about three-fourths of the way down the page, you can see the amount that is restricted for impact fee purposes at $3,048,000, and the amount that is restricted based on Class C and transportation sales tax at $1.6 million. In the general fund, the first column, you can see in the middle of the page the liabilities that exist. So regular liabilities, accounts payable, accrued liabilities. And there is an amount of developer and customer deposits in the general fund at $749,000. And if you go over to the road development fund, you can see a line called unearned revenue and the liabilities at $2.4 million. This is the money that the city has received in relation to the UDOT agreement all the way back in June of 2022. It's been received, just not expended yet. Going down the third row from the bottom in the general fund, You can see the amount that is unassigned at $4,575,000. And then other fund balances in the non-major governmental funds, which I'll share with you here in just a moment. Going to the next page, you can see the revenues and expenditures in these funds. In the general fund, you can see total revenue was $13.7 million. Of that $13.7 million, you can see the first revenue line being taxes at $12,014,000. So between sales, property, franchise tax, they total up to about 87% of the general fund revenues. In total, the governmental funds reported about $21 million in revenues off to the side. And then in the general fund, the expenditures are separated in a couple of different classifications. First, you can see a category called current, which is similar to operation and maintenance expenses. And then they are further categorized between the function or program, such as general government, public safety, and so forth. You can see the departments in the general fund, the general government being $1.9 million, public safety at $7.3 million, highways and public improvements at just under $2 million, community development at $859,000, and parks, recreation, and public property at 1.4. Going over to the total governmental funds column all the way over to the right, you can see the amount that was expended for debt service purposes, which in principal was $1,033,000, and in interest was $853,000. So about $1.9 million was spent on debt service purposes. Going down just below that, you can see the amount that was expended for capital projects at about $3.5 million, those two numbers added together, 2.2 plus 1.4. The third row from the bottom, after transfers between the various funds, the third row from the bottom shows the net change in fund balance, which is kind of like net income for a governmental entity. About break even in the general fund, at a negative $95,000, $627,000 to the positive in the RDA, $350,000 reduction in the debt service wrap tax, and then $187,000, negative $13,000, and $141,000 to the positive in the capital projects and road development and non-major governmental funds. This next page is a supplementary schedule that shows more detail behind that column that I have referred to as the non-major governmental funds. So this is where you can see the detail of the restricted cash that's in the housing agency, the local building authority, the park development fund, and the police facilities. The following page, which is page 72, shows the revenues and expenditures for each of those funds. $235,000 to the positive in the housing agency, $43,000 in the local building authority, and negative $137,000 in park development. This page right here shows the budget to actual comparison. So you can first see the original budget, the final budget, the actual, and then the variance being positive or negative. And I did share with you that minor recommendation earlier about transfers, but the reason I wanted to share this particular page is to point out that the city does a good job in keeping with the budget. The budget is how you as the mayor and council and the public are able to come here and authorize expenditures by department and by fund. And you've done a good job in keeping those expenditures within those parameters. So we've gone through the governmental funds. This next page that I wanted to share with you is on the enterprise funds. The first being the water fund. The top of the page, the assets on this are categorized between current assets, which are cash, or assets that can be converted to cash or resources within 1 year. And on the top part of the next page, this is really the second half of this statement of net position, are current liabilities. So these are obligations on cash within 1 year. And if you look at the comparison there between current assets and current liabilities, the funds are doing well and being well managed. The long-term debt in these funds, you can see, you probably can't see where my mouse is, but the revenue bonds exist in the water fund and the stormwater fund. They're really shared between those two funds. The bottom of the page shows the net position, which is similar to a fund balance. However, there is a category here of the amount of equity, if you will, that is invested into the infrastructure and the capital assets within these funds. So that's separated because it clearly cannot be spent. It's water lines in the ground, if you will. The next page shows the revenues and expenses in each of these funds. To draw a quick, there are a few lines on financial statements that are good to watch to show you the results of operation and how well the funds are performing. At the bottom of this next page, you can see a line titled operating income or loss. This tells you if the service, the user fees, are able to pay for the operating costs of each of these funds. And going all the way across there, you can see there are positive numbers. Each of these funds has positive operating income, including the Gulf Fund. So everything's looking good with these enterprise funds. The bottom part of this page is a continuation of the previous page. However, it separates non-operating income and expenses such as interest income and impact fees and any contributions from developers. So going down to the third row from the bottom, you can see the change in net position being positive in each of these enterprise funds. The following page shows these same funds in the statement of cash flows. Once again, the subtotal on the top shows operating cash provided by operating activities, and they are positive across the board. Going down, there's another section called cash flows from capital and related financing activities. And you can see where the money has been spent, right? $1.5 million being spent on the acquisition and construction of capital assets in the water fund, and $180,000 being spent on principal paid on capital debt. So you can see where the money has been spent there. Going down onto the next page, just to show you a couple of numbers. Towards the top, you can see the net increase or decrease in cash and cash equivalents. The water fund spent a lot of money on capital assets, so it showed a reduction of cash of just under $1.2 million, putting the ending balance at $3.2 million. The storm drain had an increase of $600,000, putting the ending balance at $1.8 million. The solid waste had an increase of $157,000, putting the ending at $616,000, and the Gulf Fund having an increase of $209,000 with an ending balance of over $1.2 million. The fund all the way to the right is the internal service fund, which is really how the city keeps track of the usage of vehicles and collects funds to purchase vehicles that are used across multiple departments. You can see the cash in that fund was $946,000. I think there's just one footnote that I wanted to share with you. This follows the financial statements. This is a schedule of long-term debt that the city has at the end of the year. And I'm going to turn to that page on my report because my eyes are getting a little bit old to see up on that screen. So the top of the page shows the, or excuse me, the top part of this schedule shows the debt for the governmental activities. So this is, I think, primarily in the capital projects fund, but you can see the 2022 sales tax revenue bonds, 2021 revenue bonds, and 2019 sales tax refunding, and the 2016 lease revenue bonds. Those total up to $20,741,000. And then the column all the way to the right shows the amount that will be due within 1 year. So between July 1st of 23 and June 30th of 25, those monies are due in the governmental activities. The business type activity shows a total long-term debt of $7,160,000 with $595,000 being due in 1 year. Once again, the audit went really well. We've issued a clean opinion and don't really have any internal control or state compliance related weaknesses or deficiencies to bring to your attention. Anybody have any questions for me? I've either answered them all already or else I bored you to death, right?
I'm just really pleased to see lots of black numbers and no parentheses.
Yeah. Mm.
Makes it easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
this
you.
Is great.
Thanks, Heidi.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ken.
I just wanted to say one thing briefly on the audit. And I'm very pleased and happy that Heidi has so capably helped us every year that she's been here with audits and just every day managing the heavy responsibility of the city's finances, and she's done such a great job. It's great to have a clean audit and not have any concerns by an independent auditor about what we do and how we handle the city's finances. And so what I wanted to really say to the council was, and this has been a multi-year process that has affected other elected officials before some of you were here. The city council engaged many years ago in some long-range planning and study with engineers and with other experts that the council was kind enough to let us come into our city and evaluate what we needed to do by way of fees and charges. And I know that some of you, and including some of us on the staff, have taken some grief from residents about how our water rates and our storm drain fees and our other charges have gone up. And that's been true the last 3 years. But I think one reaction I have to these financial statements is that we can see that those fee increases have been necessary because we didn't always have such a good, solid performance in the city's enterprise funds. And I think we were getting behind in capital projects. For many years, we were behind in roads, and I know this is an old story, but I just think it's been courageous on the council's part and also forward-thinking to move forward as a city and to raise fees when it's hard to raise fees. And as David Church always used to say, it's easy for us to take the public's money, but it's also a heavy responsibility. And so I've just appreciated that the council has agreed to do that, and I really think those enterprise funds are now in the right spot and in the healthiest spot that they've been in since I've worked for the city. And thank you for that, and thank you for letting us manage things that way too, because it's really hard to raise fees on your neighbors. So we know that. Thanks, Mayor.
Ken, I do have a quick question. So, and I don't know that this is, I can just email you, but how often do we do kind of an audit on fees. We have a very large surplus. I was surprised at the overall surplus, and also the taxation and water surplus is $3 million of $1.8 million. How often do we look at that and then either realign? I don't know that I've ever seen my fees go down, ever. Yeah. Do we anticipate increase from Weber Basin, things like that, and how often do we look at that?
Yeah, great question. And the most recent study that we did, which has caused us to raise water rates and storm drain fees every year, recommended a 5-year fee increase. So that is each fiscal year since that study was adopted, for the next 5 fiscal years, we will raise fees. And we've followed that now. We're in our third year of fee increases. And I know that can be frustrating for all of us. But that, I think what you don't see here is the multi-year plan of capital building projects. So waterline replacements and things that we spend millions of dollars on every year to keep the water system current and to avoid water leaks that we're having in sort of the older midsection of the city. You all remember that's where we have a lot of our water leaks. And I won't suggest that we're done fixing all those, because I'm certain that we're not. I hate to say it out loud. Sorry, John. But we are replacing major segments of large water transmission lines in a multi-year process. And that's really what those fees are about. Because as costs increase, as construction becomes more expensive, Bowen Collins, who we hired to do that study, looked ahead. They looked at all of our projects for the next 10 years, and they recommended a different fee structure. And so I think in the absence of that, if we hadn't done that, our city has aging infrastructure, which is a real challenge, and we would have fallen further behind, which really, in the water system, I just don't think we have the luxury of doing that. I don't think any community has the luxury to fall behind in waterline replacement, not just from repairs, but there's also health reasons why we would want to replace old water lines and replace them with better materials and healthier materials, and we do that sometimes too. So,
back in the 1800s, when I first started on the council, we were bonding for some water project, and we got dinged at a higher interest rate because our fees were not in line. We were subsidizing our water from the general fund. And so that made it kind of easy to say, no, we need to, you know, if you're using water, you should pay for it. It shouldn't just be hidden in the general fund. And so, yeah, some neighbors complained, but it was an easy defense, I thought.
That was the beauty of the water rate study that was done comprehensively and empirically. It was really well done. And I think that was the last council that we had before you came on was probably one of the bigger things that we've done in the whole time that we've been here. It's interesting that the state legislature has proposed some legislation now to address water rates from the state legislature perspective. And I'm so glad that we as a city have done it already, because we have led the way. There must be cities that are not doing it, and so the legislature's coming in and saying, okay, this is what you're going to do for your secondary water rates. I think it's inappropriate, but that is, they're stepping in now to what is our municipal realm, which is our duty to set these rates.
Sorry, I think I didn't answer your question about Weber Basin water. Looking long-term, Karen and I just attended a meeting last week, a long-range water planning meeting. And so I don't have a specific answer for you, but I think as we prepare, and we have a council assignment to spend time in a work session going over the water system, and Karen is working on that. We'll have that in the next couple of months. But I think one of the questions that's out there is, will the city need to develop new water sources? So when we talk about Weber Basin Water Conservancy District, the contracts that we have, costs may go up, but the question will be for our community, do we have to enter into additional contracts to purchase additional water in the future? And that water is very expensive. And so I think as we think about this issue in particular, water usage in the city, the longer we can put off purchasing or developing new sources of water through other agencies, the more cost effective, or I guess the cheaper, we'll be able to provide that service to the residents. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one way to answer that question about Weber Basin.
Because yeah. I think I was looking into it a while back, and our contracts are up relatively soon, under 10 years.
We have some that we're looking at right now, some that come through another agency that we need to deal with still. We haven't resolved some of those, yeah.
Thank you. Question. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Ken, what is the status of the well, the tainted well?
I'm going to let Karen answer that, but I think that we have far different test results than we used to have. That's as far as I can say.
I assume you mean the PCE contamination? So the current results, they're continuing to test quarterly, and the current levels are below the MCL, which means we could return it to the maximum contaminant level, under which you have to report those. So it becomes unsafe for drinking above a certain concentration, and we did exceed that, as you know. We're now back below. We believe that as those levels continue to drop, we can safely place it back into our drinking water system in the future. There still bumps a bit, but the levels have dropped significantly.
So that's kind of an ace in the hole for us, I guess.
Yeah, that's really good news for us. And
what percentage of our water did that use to supplement of our drinking water?
So all of our drinking water intermixes, it's more like a spider web than anything else. So that particular well, all of the water that we produce here in the city is about 40-45%. 60-40. So we have a split. I can't remember. We split with Weber Basin 40-60, and I'm always...
Oh, I think they're 40. Are they 40?
Yeah. So we produce 60%. Weber Basin's 40.
And so our production is through wells.
Correct.
Within our city. Okay.
Correct.
And still learning.
And of all of the wells, they vary by this particular well, which is called the Frida well, is the one that we've taken out of service. We're continuing to use it. We're supplementing irrigation water. And the reason that's beneficial to us is our largest peaks are always in the summer. So we haven't stopped using it or benefiting from it. Because if we didn't have that water, we would have to produce clean, drinkable water for those same uses.
Great. Thank you.
Karen, do you want to explain how we named our wells?
I didn't name them.
So Rod Wood had seen eye dogs. And seeing eye dogs. He was blind, and but the wells seemed to always be named after whatever dog he had.
So we nicknamed them, and they're in-house. So the official name of each of our wells would be WS1, which stands for Water Source 1, WS4, which stands for Water Source 4, TP7, which is Treatment Plant 7. And for our own internal use, for it to make sense, we name them things. So we have the honey well, which is located where the old LDS honey plant was. And we have 1100 North well because it's on 1100 North. And we have several that are named after Rod's seeing eye dogs that are tanks. And the Frida well was named after a Frida Wood who was one of the founders or one of the leading participant founding in the city of North Salt.
Wow. Okay. And do we ever look for new sources, new wells? Is that a
process? So we actually have a well that's been drilled and never equipped There's a well that's located near the R&R Barbecue by US 89 and 1100 North. We drilled a well there. It has not had a pump station built on it. We hit a vein out of the Warm Springs area, so we had some high salinity. The water was quite warm. We filled in the bottom of the well until we got drinkable water. The biggest problem we have is the amount of water. All the water draws out of the same aquifer. And so the reason we're not continuing to look for sources to drill, currently we're having problems with the aquifer dewatering, that subsidence that's occurring between us and Woods Cross. Mm-hmm. And the more water that gets pumped out of that aquifer. So the issue really isn't how much we can pump out. It's how much there is to be pumped out.
Right, right. I have one in my backyard, but it sounds like you don't need it. But it does flood our yard every summer. Should you want to drill?
The springs.
We'll come and use it.
With regard to the PCA blip plume, as we would call it, if that were to have been brought to the surface into the air, all the toxins would have been removed. Correct. But you couldn't do that because you would then deplete the aquifer.
Correct.
Okay.
It was also super expensive to provide that repair. It was several million dollars.
Woods Cross actually did. They got a grant, and I think they spent like $4 million putting activated charcoal filters on their water and such. So.
They have highly used wells, though. I know lots of people fill up there.
All right.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan, again. Why don't we knock out the minutes before we adjourn?
I didn't have any changes.
If there's no changes, I'll entertain a motion.
I have to confess I didn't review the minutes, so I'm going to abstain when it comes time for a vote. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of,
January 7th?
Oh, thanks. January 7th, 2025. Oh, it's right there.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
One abstention.
And I'm abstaining too because I wasn't there. So
okay. Well, we have three, which is enough. So, all right. How about and Ted? We went through this really fast without you here last time, but let's do action items.
I'll just do a to a sentence, which is that Ali and I had a chance to attend the Utah Trail Network workshop today in Ogden and saw a diversity of ideas put forward for a potential Utah Trail Network route through South Davis County. And I think that the tables were kind of split about whether we, which route, but anyway, just reporting that. And I think that they're going to come out with their, I'll look up the timing on that of when they're going to come back with some recommendations, but it's a handful of months out. That's everything for me.
Okay. That was your council report?
I thought that's what you were getting at.
No, I was sorry. I was on action items, but we'll knock that off.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. No wonder you were looking at me like, what are you doing? What's happening right now?
Yeah, is there anything on the action items?
I'll skip.
Well, let's adjourn and reconvene at 7 o'clock.